Paul Meacham Jr.
Albert Einstein was a great physicist. His work and thinking changed the way scientists look at our universe and the way space and time are understood to interrelate. This great thinker once said, "I think and think for months and years. 99 times the conclusion is false. The 100th time, I am right." It's true that Einstein possessed great intellect. It's also true that Einstein studied and trained himself, but his greatest strength may very well have been his persistence. Even when faced with 99 wrong conclusions, he was committed enough to his task to continue on to the 100th conclusion, which happened to be right. We're capable of accomplishing great things if we just see the job through, if we refuse to be turned aside by obstacles. Study with us today as we turn to God's Word to see what it has to say regarding persistence. Our text comes to us today from Mark chapter 12 and verse 34. "Now when Jesus saw that he answered wisely, he said to him, 'You are not far from the kingdom of God.' But after that, no one dared question him." We've taken Jesus' response to this Pharisee who was a lawyer, one who was schooled in the law of Moses. We've taken this particular phrase, "not far from the kingdom," as the center for our study. We began 3 weeks ago by looking at Moses. Each time we've looked at one of these Bible characters, we have looked at someone who had a particular goal, and one who fell short of that goal. In Deuteronomy chapter 34, we find out that Moses died in the land of Moab, falling short of his goal of entering into the land of Canaan. God had promised the land of Canaan to Abraham, to Isaac, to Jacob, and by extension, to Moses. It was Moses' inheritance, but he did not enter in. He did not enter because he had fallen short of God's standard of life. In the second week, we then looked at Luke chapter 18 and Mark chapter 10, the accounts of Jesus meeting the rich young ruler, a man who was very wealthy and trusted in those riches. Because of that trust in riches, he fell short of eternal life, the greatest goal that he ever could have had. He even came so near to that goal as to only lack one thing. One thing stood between him and that goal of eternal life, but he still fell short. Last week, we then looked from Matthew chapter 25 at 10 virgins who wanted to attend a wedding feast. 5 were allowed to enter in, and they attended the feast. But 5 were foolish. Because they were foolish and had not properly prepared themselves, they were not able to enter into that feast. They were shut out, and they could not enter in with the rest of the party. We understand that this is a parable, an earthly story with a heavenly or spiritual meaning. The meaning here is that if we do not properly prepare ourselves on this earth, then the bridegroom, who represents Jesus the Christ, will shut the door in that last day, and we will be shut out. We will not be able to enter into that great land of heaven, that great reward that exists for those who are His servants here on this earth. Because of the great reward that is there, we need to properly prepare and serve while here on the earth. Now this week, we're going to turn our attention to a Bible character who is not as well known. As I've said in past lessons, I love to study Bible characters because it helps me to see someone who is confronted with God's law and confronted with life at the same time. Someone who takes what God has said should be done and then has the trials of life come up in front of him, and by seeing how he reacts, either good or bad, I can learn and I can improve. If he makes a mistake, I can learn from his mistake and not make the same one. If he makes the right decision and is rewarded, it gives me courage to make the right decision so that God will reward me on that last day. Now, our account today is from Acts chapter 24. We begin our reading in verse 22. Here we find that Felix heard these things. Having more accurate knowledge of the way, he adjourned the proceedings and said, "When Lysias, the commander, comes down, I will make a decision on your case." So he commanded the centurion to keep Paul and to let him have liberty, and told him not to forbid any of his friends to provide for or visit him. And after some days Felix came with his wife Drusilla, who was Jewish. He sent for Paul and heard him concerning the faith in Christ. Now, as he reasoned about righteousness, self-control, and the judgment to come, Felix was afraid and answered, "Go away, for now, when I have a convenient time, I will call for you." Now, Felix is not a very popular Bible character. In fact, if you are not a good Bible student, you may have never heard of him. Felix was a Roman governor. The Roman government at this time controlled most of the world. This was true of the land of Palestine, the land of Israel. And they controlled and ruled over the Jews by putting their governors in charge of the various areas that were under their rule. Such was the case with Felix. Felix ruled, and he had as one of his prisoners the Apostle Paul. Now, we find here that when he called Paul to him, that Paul reasoned with him regarding righteousness and self-control and the judgment to come. And the things that Paul had to say frightened Felix. We're told here that he was afraid. The King James refers to him as one who trembled. The word in the Greek means that he was afraid to the point of shaking, even to the point that he was physically shaking. Now, in each of our studies, we have asked the same five questions. We do this in order to be able to compare the answers to these questions, so that we might understand how one character can be compared to another. In this particular case, the five questions read this way. Who fell short of a goal? Well, it's very easy to see that it is Felix who fell short. In his case, it may not even have been a conscious goal, but he did fall short of a great reward. There was an opportunity placed before him here that he completely loses sight of. And in the end, it appears that he loses that reward. The second question then is, of what did he fall short? Well, when Paul came and spoke with him, he could have talked with him about a number of things. They could have discussed the political climate of the day. They could have discussed the things that were happening among the Jewish people or the things that were happening among the Roman people, for both of these men were very well educated. However, they didn't discuss any of those things. Paul reasoned with him regarding righteousness. This means that Paul told him that there is a standard of right and wrong. He told him that it is God's word that sets up as the standard of righteousness for all men to obey. He also reasoned with him regarding self-control. The Roman people were not a people known for their self-control. In fact, their entire period of history is marked by one tremendous excess after another. But Paul reasoned with him about the fact that we should control ourselves. That yes, God has given us desires and emotions and appetites, but those things must be placed under control in order to properly please God. And finally, he talked to him about the judgment to come. These three things are told to us specifically, but they're all under the umbrella of the faith of Christ. And Felix fell short of that faith. Now, we hear the truth, and many hear the truth, but sometimes don't have faith. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 2 says that indeed the gospel was preached to us as well as to them. But the word which they heard did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in those who heard it. Now, he believed Paul. We know he believed because he became afraid based on what Paul had said, even to the point of trembling. But he didn't combine that trust or that faith with trust and obedience. If he had, then it would have been Bible faith and it would have moved him to obedience. James 2 and verse 19, James said, "You believe there's one God, you do well. Even the demons believe and tremble." Felix did what was right in believing, but he did what was wrong in not following up. By putting no trust in God, and by not relying on God then to save him from that judgment to come, he did wrong. In Proverbs chapter 1 and beginning in verse 24, we have a very interesting passage here. It says, "Because I have called and you refused," this is God talking to his people, "I have stretched out my hand and no one regarded, because you disdained all my counsel and would have none of my rebuke. I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your terror comes, when your terror comes like a storm and your destruction comes like a whirlwind. When distress and anguish come upon you, then they will call on me, but I will not answer. They will seek me diligently, but they will not find me, because they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. What we're being told here is that if we refuse the fear of the Lord, the reverence or respect for God, then God, in the day when we are afraid, even to the point of trembling, will refuse us. We have a choice. We can fear God, meaning that we respect and reverence and worship and obey Him, or there is going to come a day when we will be terrified at the day of the Lord. We get to choose. God doesn't make it so that we have to be terrified, but He makes us choose. Either we respect Him and obey Him now, or we will be terrified of Him in that day. In the case of Felix, how close did he come? He came so close to the faith in Christ that he did believe, believed enough to be afraid, but not believing enough to be obedient. We then ask what stopped him. It may very well have been his fear itself that stopped him, possibly the fear of those around him. Being a Roman, and a Roman of great and high standing, it would have been very difficult for him to accept the truth, and he fell short of that. And it's probably that fear of what others might say, that held him back. In the end, what was his situation? Well, we never have any record of Felix obeying. In fact, we see that Felix's heart was hardened. We know this because for 2 years he continued to call for Paul and have Paul teach him. But he called for him not so that he could learn. He called for him hoping that Paul would offer him a bribe. After a while, the gospel no longer touched his heart. He no longer believed. He no longer trembled. And in the end, he was probably lost. We don't want any of you to fall into the same trap that Felix fell into. He was touched by the gospel at one time, but after a period of rejection, it no longer touched his heart. 1 Timothy 4, verses 1 through 3 says, "Now the Spirit expressly says that in the latter times some will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron." Don't turn your heart away from the gospel. If you do so, and you do so continually, your heart will be hardened as well.